Oops.
Yikes.
Welcome to Beerfield, episode number 481, where technical difficulties are still a thing. I am your host, at Beerfield Apple Teepees, joined by Ryan Miner, underscore FFP, Dan Thury, Beerfield Thury. Sorry, audio listeners, for cutting off the first part of, I'm not going to go back and listen to it. You're either going to get a lot of rambling about how things weren't working, or I cut off the first half of the intro, or both. I'm not sure which.
All the above.
Good luck there. Why do you look so
good
red?
Good luck.
Because my back screen, background of my monitor is red.
Gotcha. You look like you're hella sunburned.
I should be from after being at my daughter's track meet on Tuesday. Well, she ran her first varsity race, too, as a freshman.
Oh, man.
Kick ass.
Finished second.
What race?
Finished second in hurdles. Yeah.
Nice.
100-meter hurdles.
Hell yeah. Kick ass. All right.
She's pretty pumped.
I would be, too. Hurdles are difficult. We're going to talk running backs today and tight ends, the most unenthusiastic parts of this draft class. This draft class is kind of weird in the sense that it's like all quarterbacks and wide receivers to get excited about, and Brock Bowers. So we'll go through that. For real, we're going to talk tight ends this time, not like last week where we said we were going to do that, and then we just talked quarterbacks the whole time. Kind of play it by ear, play it live. We'll get into the news a little bit, but before we do that, alcohol? Does O.J. Simpson deserve a lead-in rest in peace? Or
no.
We...
Fuck O.J. Okay. Simpson. Okay, we're not talking about him.
We'll bury it in the news. It's fine. We got to talk about it, but we'll bury it in the news.
Okay.
I mean, he was innocent after all. Sure. The glove didn't fit.
Yeah, apparently.
He has to put it on before he goes across out there. Jesus is up there saying, like, here, now try it on.
That motherfucker's in hell.
Did I share with you guys audio?
Yeah, drops, I mean, right? We can hear drops.
Okay, cool. That's
now we're so good at this.
I got some weird things going on over here. Well, Windows applied an update, and I just decided that we were going to rot off this episode without going through anything first. So it's like things are all over the place. Settings got reset,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. That's how it goes.
Get it.
Ryan, what IPA are you drinking?
Ha, joke's on you. I am drinking a Screwball New Fashion.
Oh, nice.
New Fashion.
What's a new fashioned?
It's just Screwball and bitters.
What kind of bitters
That's
do
you
it. Use? Just Angostura?
Just whatever they had at Target. Angostura.
Probably Angostura, which is orangey.
Yep.
Danil.
I am, I forgot to get beer.
Me too.
Thankfully, I have a new distilled beer that I can bring on. Big old 19.2s.
Ooh.
Yes, we have joined the 19.2 worlds because that's what we do. So this is our Imperial West Coast IPA.
A 19.2 ounce Imperial IPA?
Yeah, yeah, so this is basically for, you know, for gas stations, for all the people that want to get fucked up off of one can. It's a 9%, 19.2.
You only need
one. Sounds like my kind of can.
All right.
yeah, you only need. It looks pretty dope. I'm not gonna lie, it looks pretty cool.
I am drinking the second highest ranked brewery in Illinois on Untappd tonight. Any guesses who that is, Dan?
Second ranked.
Second highest ranked brewery in Illinois.
Is it out of Chicago?
It is not. Let me make sure
is
I
it
didn't,
out of.
Hold on. Let me go make sure I didn't miss.
Is it out of Savoy?
It is not out of Savoy either. Let me go
is
make
it out
sure
of Savoy?
I didn't miss no. Nope. Not
I
out
swear,
of Savoy.
I swear all the Dallas, Illinois people would have told you otherwise.
Nope. So I'm going to go find it. Here we go. Best breweries in every state for Illinois. This is per Belt Beer Garden, Hustle Belt's weekly beer segment. So.
Okay.
It wasn't Untappd. It was somebody's beer segment. But
hey,
any more guesses?
It's down by me. So is it not out of Chicago?
Not out of Chicago. It's down by me.
It's down by you.
Yeah.
It's a really.
Uh huh.
I mean, it's is it Old Harold? I mean, it's
no.
Is it stubborn? No, it's a Millsat.
It's Millpond. Yeah.
I mean, Millpond. Well, yeah. Out of Millsat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Millpond. Ranked number two per random person. I like it.
Number one was Hot But number one was Hot Butcher.
At least it's better than Untapped, at least.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm gonna kill the YouTube because I got bitrate problems. Sorry, YouTube. Okay. Go to Spotify.
You are breaking up like crazy.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
better.
See?
Better.
As soon as they said Hot Butcher's number one, I immediately discredit their list.
Butter, better
I
now.
Don't hate Hot Butcher. I just they're known for a dry hop brewery. No,
yeah,
not really.
No, I don't think you can really do anything about that. Hold on, let me try to kill some things. Perks of recording remote, guys. You can hear me. They can. I figured I was on a delay just from how shit was going. 1 second. Let's get rid of that. Get rid of that. All right, how about now?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, right now
you sound
do.
Great.
Better?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Is there a delay?
No. He's just fucking with us.
He's just fucking with you.
No, with us. God. Ryan's back to being white again. Here we are.
I'm fucking with both of you guys.
Oh, the video's starting to get choppy again, though.
Good Lord. Fucking Windows applies an update and nothing works.
Typical Doesn't Windows.
Worry. Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. Well, we'll see if it settles out. I mean, if anything, I'm going to be delayed for you guys and sound normal to everyone else. So
that they
might be a little weird rhythm here, boys, but we'll get her going.
I mean, when is it not weird? So
right. Okay. I'm. Anyway, it was Hot Butcher at one, which I don't necessarily agree with, but whatever. Millpond at two, Microphone at three, Goldfinger was four, Riverlands is five. It's cool that they've had Millpond there. I don't think you can have a best breweries in Illinois list without Dovetail on it, though. So, sorry.
No, I've had every beer from a brewery on that list, or Phase Three. Mm-hmm. Phase Three is still my favorite Chicago brewery. And the fact that there's no Lover mentioned the Goose.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people like to shit on Goose and Revolution, but I mean, they're pretty historic Chicago breweries.
Shit on Goose, go to Goose and drink some of the shit that doesn't get distribution.
I love Revolution, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, Hot Butcher number one. Cool, man. You can have your 3,000 IPAs, your 3,000 hazy IPAs.
Yep. Just change the hops. All right. I've got Azat, by the way. I didn't
just
say
create
what
new
I was.
Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a Zet, by the way. I didn't say what I was drinking. It's a Zet. It's there. Heffy.
It's a Zet.
Yeah.
Heffy. Heffy.
Heffy.
Nice. Heffy.
Heffy. All right. More on those about halfway through the show. Let's hit the news. Somewhere. Where's my news drop?
There's news.
News.
There's only kind of news, I guess. And when I say there's only kind of news, what I mean by that is that outside of O.J. Simpson passing, which, okay, he did it, he didn't do it, Bill's legend, okay, fine, whatever, that's all we're going to say about that. I think the only other thing to talk about is Rashi Rice, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's updates since the last time we last time we talked, so.
Okay. Was it eight charges? Six?
Eight charges.
Yes.
Eight charges.
Do you have those handy?
I do. I did. Dang it.
Damn.
You did? You don't anymore.
Dude, like, there's something up with my freaking, like, Twitter. Like, anytime I go to do anything on it, it, like, kicks me out and, like, wants me to do, like, this freaking game of, like, match these pictures up, match these ones up. I'm like, stop it.
I got it.
You got it?
I just pulled up Drew Davenport's page. I should just pull up actual. I thought you
I got a lead of them.
The charges that I've seen reported as follows: one count aggravated assault, one count collusion, one count collision involving serious bodily injury, and six counts collision involving injury.
Huh.
So it looks like the aggravated assault
with the vehicle
could carry is a felony of the second degree. And then the other six counts are all third degree.
Third degree.
So, yeah.
I still think this gets pled down.
I think he gets
more
two
likely.
I think he's going to get played down to one to two games. I think one to three. I do think he's going to end up being suspended.
Well,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I meant the actual legal charges, I think, get pled down.
Oh, yeah.
You're not talking.
It's a first-time offender. Yeah.
Games missed. I think that it just gets played down to, or he's going to get convicted and pull probation, essentially.
Yeah. So, he's not going to serve. I don't think he serves any jail time.
No.
He's a first-time offender with no other priors or nothing. So,
and it was mutually racing. There was an accident. I think that there's something in civil court that's going to come out of this from the victims, but
yeah.
Criminal court. And yeah, that'll get bled down. Other than that, not really anything. Logan Ryan retired. Very nice career for him. And that's about it. Right?
It's been a quiet week. Thankfully, you know, 2 weeks until we're in the thick of it. So,
yeah, it's 2 weeks for the draft. So, quiet week.
I'm so excited to be standing there
again
in 2 weeks. Yes, again, I'll be standing there for more hours this time because I'm closer.
Getting the picks on your phone?
Trying to, yeah. Hopefully.
I'll be at a bar in Springfield, Missouri, stretch drinking.
I'm just doing it more for my son, for him to enjoy it.
I mean, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
Probably here, just watching on ESPN Plus.
You'll probably see me then.
Come on, yeah, in the sea of people.
he'll
yeah,
you'll probably be able to find me in a crowd of thousands. Yeah,
yeah, you'll find me right me. Here. It's I'm by the fine. Camera.
Yeah. I'll probably see you. Maybe I'll throw a zoom out there.
Maybe Ryan wearing. You see me wearing his Beerfield shirt or hat or whatever he has from us.
That's a good idea.
You can't. No one else is gonna be wearing it, Ryan. So you might as well, you know, stick out pretty well.
Yeah.
Right?
I was thinking of that or something else like a Lions jersey. You know, then you'd really find me.
Yeah. Where's Waldo then?
I'll throw a zoom out there, maybe see if I can get some league mates and from various leagues to hop on and hang for a little bit.
There you go.
All right.
You know what's funny too is like, do you ever look back at the old videos of like when we were in Kansas City to see if we can actually see ourselves? Because I still haven't.
No,
I've never looked. I thought we did.
Because we were right by the track of the camera going like across the skyline.
I'm sure we could if we put all of our will together. We could have totally found each other.
I got none of that.
None.
Especially after this.
Running backs.
Run, Forrest, run! Run, Forrest!
I love year two. 2018 was a good year.
God, what our best year. Year two. Six years ago. What a year.
All right. So here's the skinny on the running back class before I kick it to you guys to tell me if they're, you know, what we should care about. General consensus on the running back class is there is no can't miss prospect here, like there has been in previous years. There's very little depth. This is why you saw running backs getting big contracts in free agency, because this draft class is not fantastic. There's very little in statistical profiles to incite excitement. Only a couple guys did enough at the combine to incite excitement, and even though they did, they don't really have statistical profiles to back it up. There was injuries to the guy that was supposed to be the one. Actually, I think there were multiple guys hurt that were. Yeah, there's only one guy hurt. Well, two guys hurt that I had flagged to watch, but one guy hurt that anyway was supposed to be the one. It's generally not good. So let's just start here. Who are the guys that you think have a chance to be something? I don't even know. Who's your number one and who's right behind him? Like, give me a couple names.
So my number one off the bat is, it's hard to rank them this year, right? With, as you mentioned, we don't have a Cam Mix, we don't have a Bijan, we don't have even a Breece, we don't have a Jameer in this class. We don't have a running back that's going to...
Or give me the tier, I guess. Let's get some names out there.
Sure, fine. Trey Benson out of Florida State. It's going to be mine. Great
him.
Size, fantastic combine, runner 4.39 40 at 6'2", 216. Ideal size for an every down back.
I hated him. Are you surprised?
We got
somebody to discuss.
Here's the thing, though. As soon as I watched his film, I knew you wouldn't like him because his biggest weakness, outside of the fact that he never carried a full workload and probably won't be in the NFL because that tends to translate, inconsistent vision.
Yep.
His vision is all over the place. But he's explosive. He's going to get day 2 draft capital, probably round 2. Will be one of the first backs off the board. Great open space.
Good
when
size.
He gets there. Very explosive. Even though he had a bad burst score, it just feels odd because when he sees it, he's fine. When he doesn't, it's like, oh, buddy. That one, and it's the fact that he only had one game over 20 carries in his career, and in both of his seasons as a primary starter, he had 160, no more than 160 carries. He's a 1A at best.
It's Josh Jacobs' situation, right? Kind of.
Jacobs is more viewed as a better pass catcher.
Well, I mean,
he definitely didn't test nearly as well. Benson has, like, the Breece Hall, like, athleticism. It just doesn't have the production profile.
Right.
And he obviously, I'm not comparing Benson, you know, to Breece, but in terms of his size and what he could become, like, draft capital is going to be in his favor. Size and athleticism is in his favor. It's just, as we said, as soon as I watched him, like, Hopper's not going to like him. He doesn't have good vision, like, at least not consistently enough.
And player profile is best comparable is J.K. Dobbins to him. So he's got bad ACLs too. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
He's going to tear two. He's going to have two Achilles injuries and an ACL injury. He's fucked. Sorry, Trey.
Here's the thing for me with him. There's a guy very similar that I like more. So I'm going to use that as a springboard to get another name out here. Trey Benson. So player A, player B. Let's do that. See if you guys know. Player A is Trey Benson. Player B is the mystery player. Both check in at a 29.3 BMI. Benson, 25% dominator. Player B, 15%. 4.39 40 for Benson, 4.38 for player B. Player B had a 131 burst score to Benson's 118. Speed score is very similar, 114, 116. Productivity, on 50 more rushes, player B, 300 more yards. So, about, they're within a tenth of a yard per carry efficiency. Receiving stats, very, very similar. Rush stats, very, very similar, except player B has had a 1,000-yard season. It's 7.4 yards per carry, so still never carried a full workload, but did have a 1,000-yard season on that efficiency. And
I also do like Jalen Wright, too. So.
There you go. That's who it was. It's Jalen Wright.
Yeah.
And They're very similar. They're very similar. I actually said after watching film, and I had plenty of knocks on Wright, and I'll get to that, that Benson is like off-brand. It's great value Jalen Wright, and Jalen Wright is grocery store running back in and of himself. Benson's like off-brand.
See, the thing is that Jalen Wright's going to probably go after Benson too, which is hysterical. Because both running backs are like, they're both profiled to be midi backs at best.
Yeah, Benson's
fine.
I'll put it this way. Benson's got a better chance based on his style at actually seeing goal line work in some volume. Wright's got a better chance at being the low touch, hyper efficient back that we've seen, I think, because that's exactly what he was in college. He was low touch and hyper efficient.
He might be this year's, like, depending on landing spot, he could be this year's Achan.
Yeah.
Hyper, yeah, like, he's super. Super explosive. Well, he's also big. I think he's bigger than Achan too. Super explosive. Obviously, very, very home run. You know, to his game.
A lot of burst if he gets to the secondary. Yeah. I think the problem is at the line. If you can get into the second level, he's great. Arm tackles don't really do the trick with him. He's got great burst at that level. He's hard to bring down. He hits you like a freaking freight train, even though he's not excessively big. He will run into you at full speed. But if you get body on him at the line, there's no room to work. He has to operate in space, and that's kind of the problem. It's not that he lacks the agility, but it's a vision thing in a different way that Benson is, because Wright sees it, but he's slow to get there when he sees it. And Benson, I just don't think ever sees it. I don't think that Wright sees his
blocks. I think both players are going to struggle with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think both players are going to definitely struggle. It's going to be like Miles Sanders, I think, to an extent. And the funny thing with Miles Sanders didn't struggle with vision coming out of Penn State. That just ended up being exploited and shown very heavily during his time in Philly, and then even more so in Carolina when you don't have a good roster around him. Mm-hmm. I do believe that Wright has a chance to go day two. I wouldn't be shocked if both players are drafted around the same range. I would bet money that Trey's drafted before, but might be like a late day two, and Wright might be mid round three.
The difference I see here too is I don't know if Wright played special teams, but he reminds you a lot of Cordarrelle Patterson and how he works in space and runs and stuff. So I just think Wright has some staying power as a return guy as well, just from what I saw from his open space ability. I think that there's a little sticking power there as far as roster bubble type things go, which both these guys could easily find themselves on.
Wright had no special teams.
Really?
I think Wright also battled injuries.
He did.
Early on. No, he did always been.
I'd be curious to see if they try that with him, because the way he operates in open space, and especially with the new returner rules in the NFL, I could see that being dangerous.
Might be.
I could see another running back succeeding more in that than Jalen Wright.
Who's that?
Bucky Irving.
I've got him too.
Bucky Irving.
He's tiny.
Great profile, but boy, did he have a terrible combine. Oh, Jesus Christ.
He had a bad combine, and the dude is tiny, tiny.
Hell of a returner, though.
5'8",
195. I mean, again, it's probably going to be his role, or he'll be, third down specialist.
I had him very Michael Carter-like, was what I saw from him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
undersized, runs bigger than he is, shows some good route running and receiving ability out of the backfield, good burst, open field, decent vision, good leg drive. Would really play if you're a bit bigger, but I literally just see Michael Carter there. Not a great combine. Ends up somewhere, has productivity, a lot of things to like, not a big guy, just probably has some flashes. Very somewhere. Yeah.
He's a Michael James. He's a Michael James, like the modern day Michael James from there. Yeah. Speed and just shifts and gets when he gets the ball in his hands.
He definitely excelled in the Oregon spread him out offense. Like, he definitely was. It definitely helped.
Yeah.
To have the amount of speed they had and just everything.
Indeed. All right, who do you guys have is the? So you mentioned Benson, Dan. Who else are we looking at in higher tiers? We kind of springboarded into.
We
some gotta
talk about Ryan's.
Maybe
could we gotta talk about Ryan's guy, Michigan guy,
Blake
Corum.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, absolutely.
I like Blake.
I love Blake.
Blake is he's got the two seasons of over 200 touches. He's got the full workload coming off the ACL, so we should definitely have peak fine Blake. His size is very, very
short and stout. He's a little teapot.
Unseen.
He's a little teapot.
Again, I think I mentioned 5'8", to you 205. Guys, only three running backs since 2010 have been drafted at his size in the first two rounds or in the first 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you got, Clyde in the first, which obviously did not work out. Gio Bernard, I think, was fine throughout his career. And then who I comped into as a better of is Devin Singletary. I think he's a better and more athletic Devin Singletary.
Oh, he's a hell of a lot better than that. I put him in
that's
better
where
than
I
that.
Feel. That's where I find. Yeah, but if you look at everything that he's done throughout college, he profiles as a better Devin Singletary.
Yeah. I mean, he's a giant TD threat. And you see that ability in short yardage. That was the first thing that jumped out to me was just his ability in short yardage to just get 2 to 3 yards within the pile. And I don't know if that's because they don't know where he's coming from because he's 5'8", or if it's just because he's stout with a low center of gravity and can just keep people moving. But that was one of the first things I noticed is just in short yardage situations, he's almost always picking up 2 to 3 yards, which in goal line situations, that's why you got 27 touchdowns, right? That's LeGarrette Blount shit. But that's not all he does. He's not pile moving powerful, but again, he just kind of finds a way to do it, I guess. But the other thing I noticed about him is he's got really good burst on film. He operates well in short yardage to me. He shows off some his agility and short area change of direction, more so than in the open field. So I don't think he's like an open field burner. I think he operates better in traffic with short area quickness, and then can get some burst and chunk some plays. He's not a home run hitter, but burst.
No, he's not
chunk plays, short area agility that can also work in some short yardage situations.
Again, he is someone like he's a good first and second down runner. Like he's a guy that's not going to obviously break out big plays that you guys mentioned, but he can get you a decent amount of 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, you need 3 yards
at a time. Like he's
going to.
He's not going to take negative yards. He's going to move the sticks. A little bit of like, David Montgomery-ish to him where it's, I think you're going to find a lot of plus plays from him. Given his size and given the amount of work he took the last 2 years, I'm a little concerned.
You're just buying lottery tickets in this class, though. I mean, that's all you can do. And we'll get to that.
I think he is a good, I think he is a fine
lottery ticket.
Yeah, like he's okay with that, Mark. Like, he's going to get drafted high. PFF rated him in 22 as one of the greatest running back seasons they've graded. Mm-hmm. Like, Corum is good at football. It's just whether or not he's really good in college football, and then he's going to be a guy in the NFL. Again, sub 5'8 and 205 pounds. Like, you just don't see guys like that get the type of work that it's going to put you into that upper echelon. And then because he played for Michigan and because the offense built through him as a runner, you didn't get to see him catch enough passes. He can, but he won't obviously profile as a pass catching specialist, but he's not Braylon Allen bad at catching passes.
We're going to talk about it. You want to talk
which
about
is why I wanted to leave segue into the back where I for the life of me, don't understand why people love him so much.
Braylon Allen, because of his age. That's their excuse right
it's
now.
It's because he looks like Derrick Henry. And
it's also like that's the knock on like Corum too is his age. Is he's right. One of the older backs.
23 is fine. It's just 23. It's not for me. It's just
okay.
Sight.
Like that. Khalil Herbert came out at 23 recently. There's a couple guys the last couple of years that come out at 23, and that's just the state of the running back in the COVID era, right? You're gonna have guys coming.
Yeah,
out
exactly.
Later.
COVID era. That's yep. That's.
And
the
I don't
main
expect
name right
Blake Corum to like. Get a big second contract. I personally think you have 1, 2, 3 good years, and then it kind of just like it just depends on what his role is drafted into. I just I don't see him profiling as an every down back because of his size. And if he is, that's great. And I think his draft capital is going to be fine for him, but it's
I see him as fringe, and I think looking at it, what jumped out for me to Allen, because I remember you saying you don't like him. I mean, first thing is the size. It, like you mentioned, Derrick Henry size. He's
big boy.
He's 6'1", 235. He's easily the biggest back in this class. I wouldn't say in the class, but of the guys that I had, which were essentially combine and senior bowl.
I think
guys
he is technically
produced.
The biggest guy.
He probably is.
He is, in terms of his weight.
Yeah.
He put obviously up, not his BMI, his bigger guys. But
yeah, he has a solid productivity profile. He put up, 300 yards less than Corum in 10 fewer games. So, you know, he's got that going for him. He's got at that 1,200-yard season, which I think is, as far as seasons, that's not actually that fantastic in this class. Low efficiency.
He did that when he was 17 years old, though. You got to remember that part, too. His first year in Wisconsin, he was 17. He wasn't even 18 yet.
There's also one thing to note. Wisconsin moved to an air raid offense in 23.
Yeah.
So the Braylon we saw this year, the Braylon a lot of people watch on tape and watch Wisconsin games this year, saw a running back that was in a unfit for his style.
Yeah. And now, yeah, because he's not a pass catcher. Not at all. And
he looked
tried
he looked
to
fucking,
do that, but
he looked
bad
catchy,
doing
he looked
it.
So uncomfortable catching passes.
But he runs violent. He doesn't have a ton of finesse. He's got above average burst. Not any long speed. Not great vision. I don't love him. To me, he seems like a fringe starter with the right opportunity. You're talking somebody who could have a career arc, something, depending on draft capital, something like Donta Foreman.
AJ Dillon. Yeah. A Foreman, at least, I think, was projected as a better athlete. Braylon ducking the
athletic
drills
didn't do him any favors.
The athletic drills, besides the vertical and the long jump at the combine, they completely ducking it at the pro day. That's people in his ear saying, don't run. You're going to ruin your capital even more. Allen, round four, I think he'll be early day three. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes late round three, late day two, but
yeah.
He's going to be a guy where people liked him in this wide open running back class that has no true one. If he goes to Dallas, if he goes to like Minnesota, he goes to an offense that can yield, you know, goal line opportunities, scoring opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You could see, because he's got the size, he's a good downfield runner. He's a good down, like he needs
a powerful runner.
A quarterback behind the center, let him run. You know, 2 yards behind him and get going, because that's where he shines and that's where he accelerates. Is he needs an offense.
Even behind a good offensive line, it'll work out great.
Yeah. And we also don't know how athletic he, how much juice he actually has, but Ryan said if you have a good offensive line, he can easily get, you know, 4 or 5 yards just by that. He doesn't need to break away long runs to be, you know, fantasy effective.
Yep. And then I think another guy I had down was Jonathan Brooks.
Supposedly ready. It was supposedly he should be good to go. It's been reported, at least reported today. He'll be ready by week one.
Torn ACL.
He has a full season of that.
Yeah. Torn ACL for Brooks, right? So
yeah.
That's where the discussion is here. A lot of people thought that he was gonna be kind of the guy.
He would have been
class,
the RB1
and
for
then
me. He would have been.
There's an ACL late, but I think, you know, he heals up. Unfortunately, you might miss it year one, and that might be enough to bury a running back, and that's where people are kind of tepid on him. But he looked like, watching his film, he seemed like the closest to it and to what we're used to getting. Good angles, good power, solid, really solid in pass pro, good twitch, decent long speed, okay hands, lacks some short area quickness, but overall, if he heals up, he's going to be a very serviceable every down back. I think he's got to heal up. And this is where it's like, hey, there's guys with a bunch of question marks.
Yeah. He might be the one where we're talking about, like,
it's also got
late
one big
season.
Yeah. So it's only got one big season.
I mean, again, obviously behind, you know, Bijan for his first 2 years. Yeah. Obviously, you couldn't take much away from Roshan. You can make that for whatever you will.
Argument.
Yeah. as a full-time starter, I think people liked what they saw. Again, I don't think he's anything super special. None of the guys in his classes are. They all have their issues. Brooks is going to be, where does he get drafted? When does he get drafted and where? A lot of people are pointing to Dallas because of the connections with the medical team that did his procedure and did everything else with it. There's a lot of Dallas connection too. They're obviously also playing in Texas. You're going to draw that too. At the end of the day, I'm going to take the cheapest running back out of my top tier in my rookie draft. I think that's the best way to go. Someone's going to reach on the consensus RB1. We see it every fucking year. We see it with every fringe, you know, first round back and rookie mocks that get a good landing spot and decent draft capital, and they get Damian pierced into oblivion. And that's going to happen with one of these guys, maybe two, because you know, people are going to draft for need in their rookie drafts, even though they should have in May. They're going to see a lot of guys get vaulted up and just sit back for the ones that don't. Like, it's, this could be a class where your second and third round in your rookie mocks are actually the best back. It's not by much.
Any other running backs to discuss here that we haven't talked about that you guys want to throw out there?
Marshawn Lloyd out of USC.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very, very solid. Yeah, very big, very solid. NFL caliber dude. I think he's going to go higher than most people think.
He was highly touted coming out of high school. Dealt with injuries early on during his South Carolina tenure. Transfers to USC. A lot of questions on how his athletic measurables were going to come out. And he tested exceptionally well. 5'8", 220. So he's got that good bulk size. No pass catching profile to his name. Ronald Jones, obviously, you want to, you know, do a team comp with player, but
no pass catching profile. I think Ryan's right too. 1,600 career yards.
Yeah. He's a lottery ticket. I think he's
820. I mean, good athletic profile though, right? And that's what you're going for, is lottery tickets.
Yeah.
I do think Ryan's right. I think he's going to go higher in the draft than people expect. I think you could see him going as a top five back off the board at some point in the third round.
I think the other guys that I
will vault him.
Yeah. I think the other guys that I had down to watch, let's see, Frank Gore Jr. I had him down to give a watch. 220 rush yards, 1,300 yards, 9 tutties. Again, shorter back, smaller back, 45.8 college dominator.
5'7", 201.
Yep. Yeah. 5'7", 201, 45.8 college dominator. Obviously a good pedigree. Didn't run in athletic drills, 4,000 career yards in college. That's a pretty good profile. At 22 years old. So just, I'll see what I see on film, but that's a really good profile. Despite the only knock on that is size, obviously. And everybody's got a black eye.
Yeah.
I had go ahead.
I was gonna say Will Shipley. Yeah, we didn't talk a lot about a pass catching back. We talk about guys who could will Shipley fits that profile. He won't be in every down back. Obviously, he's a third down guy, but those type of profiles are shining a little bit more, just giving them more committee backs, ran actual routes at Clemson, should be a threat and an actual pass catching threat out of the backfield. Like these guys, like we always say, landing spot dependent for sure. But if there's an open role, if there's a team that drafts him for that spot, he could have early career production in your PPR leagues, and that's a good find for a guy that will probably profile as a second, third round pick in most rookie drafts.
Yeah.
Especially in like teams. Let's go ahead.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
I would say, especially like in leagues that do kick return yards, because he was really good as a special teamer.
Yeah. That'd be one
of the guys you could see him actually going in the, at least like a second round of a rookie mock, or not rookie mock, but of a rookie draft.
Yeah.
Because of the special teams ability he has.
He's also a Debbie Darling. He was a huge, I mean, because he's white and a running back that catches passes, he got the unfortunate comps early on in his college career to Christian McCaffrey. right alongside, obviously, Max Borky and guys like that. But it's Shipley's kind of, you know, fallen by the wayside, just never really truly lived up to his freshman year into that Devy hype. But in a very wide open class like this is, and trying to find, you know, production where it might be harder too, Shipley's role, I think, has a chance.
Oh, breaking news. Rashid Rice has turned himself into the police in Dallas.
I thought that happened earlier today.
What he should do.
Okay. Kamani Vidal, I had down to watch as well. He lit up as I went across the board. 31.5 Dominator, 32.4 BMI. Again, the problem is you're dealing with somebody shorter, right? You're dealing with another 5'8" back. Good athletic profile, though. Good productivity profile for him. 297 rushes this past year, 1,600 yards. 4,000 career yards and 780 rushes, 22. It's another senior. And then the other guy, Isaac Rindo.
I mean, you know, three seasons of over. Yeah.
Yeah. So Vidal lit up pretty nicely for me.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Dan?
I was picking off of your Vidal. It's fine. I can move on.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to see if I can find any black eyes with him. He's another guy I want to watch just based on, again, how the profile lights up. By the way, when I say the profile lights up, I had thresholds based on the last, like, 13 years of draft classes that if guys clear a threshold for a particular metric, it highlights for me. So when guys start lighting up across the board, that tells me, like, hey, this is somebody to pay more attention to. And Vidal's another one that, other than his height, lit up a lot of things. Honestly, a 5'8 back is going to hit out of this class because there's enough of them with good profiles that
so many.
Someone's going to hit.
So many of them.
And the other one.
He was actually one of my running backs that I wrote like heavily about.
Yeah. Is he?
As a Grindo? Grindo? Yeah, because I do, you know, how I do the rookie mock drafts. And he was the biggest riser from the NFL combine. He actually rose up 40 spots. He went from like pick 80 to
he absolutely pick killed 30 the fucking something. He was best in the class at literally every metric.
Yeah.
Well, not agility. Quorum got him on the agility drills.
The 40-yard dash.
4.33.
Yeah, it was him, Wright, and Benson were your top three athletic performers.
99 percentile RAS score, too.
Yeah.
273 touches, though. That's one benefit. That's one knock against him, but it's also one benefit for him. What kills him, though, is if you actually look at that and see how far back you go, it's 4 years at Wisconsin before he transferred to Louisville.
Yeah.
And finally had over 500.
Yeah,
that's what kills.
103 carry, 32 carries.
He's a late round dart throw.
And it's purely because of the athleticism.
Late round dart throw.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Who's your late round dart throw?
Nope. Did we? Okay. We got him back. Dylan Lauby.
You froze.
Dylan Lauby from New Hampshire. 5'9", 206. He profiles as a true third down. Think of his best comparable in player profile, Chase Edmonds. I think he is your third, fourth round dart throw, you know, type of guy. Again, pass catching role early on, you can yield results. Great agility score at 10.86. Again, late round. If you're looking to try to find your edge, I think he is a sure shot at that. And he'll be my guy. I'll be hitting my hat on, especially if he gets good landing spot.
All right. That's your running back class, as uninspiring as it is. No one to really argue over.
It's the best.
Don't mistake our excitement for truth. Yeah. We're not.
Yeah.
We're not really that excited.
Right. Probably lagging again based
on
responses.
Can't say it like, without laughing.
Right. You totally are.
I know.
Beer review.
someone.
Alcohol review.
No, yeah. Ryan, you can go.
So I called it a new fashion because it's definitely not like an old fashion, but I have Screwball and Bitters, and it's definitely different because the peanut butter taste, it's actually like, when I have like a old fashioned, it's like a nice sipping drink where you just kind of chill, not really like thinking of anything, something where you can drink more and more. Where this one's more like, I feel like it's like a dessert because you still have that little bit of an orange, but you have the more potent of the peanut butter. So it's very nice as like a good thing to have like after dinner type of beverage before you want to do anything else. Like, all right, this is going to be my dessert for the night. So that's how I'd view it as, but definitely very good as I like to call it, the new fashion.
You Screwball in my hot chocolate.
New fashion. Well, this sounds good too.
It is.
Damn. Again, I am drinking DeSille's Deadhead Imperial IPA. This is our West Coast made beefier, 9%, 60 IBUs. Drinks exactly like you would expect a West Coast to drink. I call it more like a Midwest West Coast. You get the balanced malt, you get the bitterness, you get the juiciness from the, you know, from both the hops with the hop bitter lingerness that you get from that, you know, traditional style. You get a subtle alcohol to it too. Again, a 9% is going to definitely hit you harder, and you will get notes of that on this. But if you are someone that enjoys these big boys and someone that enjoys drinking a 19% to 9% beer, start to look out for these in your markets as they'll start to hit stores throughout the country soon.
All right. And I was drinking a Zet from Mill Pond. Brian would be the first to tell you that he doesn't like his own heffy. And I probably like it a little bit more than he does, I think. This one's older, I will say that too. I've had this sitting around for a little bit, actually since sometime last year. But it's still got a good banana balance. It's just a little bit of clove. It's more on the fruitier side. Very light bodied, very refreshing. They do a lot of good beers. He would tell you that the Heffy isn't his favorite, and I would tell you that the Heffy isn't his best put forward. But overall, it's still really refreshing. It's a good Heffy, and you know, I would say that you're still drinking an above average beer here. So here you go.
I like it.
It's hard to give a Heffy a glowing review. I like Heffies, but it's right? Hard to give one a glowing review.
True.
They're very good.
All right. Tight ends. Let's see what this draft has in store. I have no idea, and I'm kind of scared.
Tight ends.
Brock Bowers.
Fucking smooth jazz.
A little bit of smooth jazz for the tight end.
I feel like that's kind of, you know, fitting for Brock and Brock only. Smooth jazz.
Let's talk about it. I've only got three guys down, so this will be short. Brock Bowers, consensus one. A lot of people super excited about this. Why is he special?
Because he can do it all. He's like, he's the white Kyle Pitts now.
There's a stat that's floating around too. He had not stat because he was looking up too, but he had more rushing yards in college than Deebo Samuel. That's been a very fun selling point that I've heard from people. He had more rushing production than Deebo. Huh. Brock is gonna be. I think Brock's limit is gonna be by the offense that with the offensive coordinator that he gets, because he literally can do it all. He can tank. He took handoffs in college. He can operate. He operates very well in the slot. He's great as a Y, you know, as an inline tight end, you know, coming off the line. Again, I think the only way that you can cap his ceiling is just by pairing him up with an uninventive a play caller. Because yeah.
Okay, this is why we talk about
Brock things. Can do it all.
Because I didn't realize, showing my ignorance here, that Bowers actually had
rushing profile, because that's not a thing I look at for tight ends.
No, right? Good.
200 college rushing yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. He took, again, he took, like, he is, thankfully, I think the draft type of him going top 5 has been wavered. Thankfully. I think the Jets,
thank God.
I think Jets are picking 10.
10? Yeah, 10 right now.
And they have the best odds to land him. He has, right, at least, you know, per DraftKings Sportbook, they have the best odds of landing him.
Yeah.
So thankfully, we're not getting, you know, Kyle Pitts territory of top 5 or any of that. But
I saw a lot of Mark Andrews when I watched him, which is not, I mean, that's pretty high praise, but there was a good amount of Mark Andrews that I saw with this.
He's more athletic, Mark. Like, he is a
more athletic Mark Andrews. And I'm talking about Mark Andrews. Their reliability in the route running that Andrews has, but he's more athletic. Give you an idea on the body of work. 2,538 career receiving yards. That dwarfs not only everything in the class, but over the last 13 years worth of my database, only Dallas Goedert and David Njoku have more college receiving yards amongst tight ends that we've evaluated. So really not much of a debate to be had here. Chris Sprouts, good hands, solid blocker. Like you guys said, he can do it all, but I wanted to get that nugget out there too of his receiving productivity is, you know, top 3 of the last decade coming out of college.
Yeah, he's
unbelievable.
He's nuts. And again, I'll say it again. It's, I guess it's going to cap his ceiling as an offense that just doesn't want to use him.
I should check myself there just a bit because I actually don't have the previous 3 draft classes in there because I didn't refresh it. No, it was better than Pitts. It's better than Pitts is the only one I was really worried about there. So Pitts actually wasn't all that productive. Just athletic.
Not like he played. He didn't really play for very good, you know, Florida squats either.
Yeah.
He had Kyle Trask throwing him the football for a little bit there.
Yeah, to give you an idea, Sam Laporta had 1,700 receiving yards in college. Kyle Pitts had 1,400. Who else should we look at? Dalton Kincaid? Why not?
Yeah.
Dalton Kincaid had 1,400.
Michael Mayer.
So, I mean, we're not talking, I'm pulling Mayer right now. So, we're not talking like kind of dwarfing them. Mayer had 2,099. So, we're not talking kind of, like, we're talking in some cases 800 more receiving yards for a college career than guys that have been super successful in the NFL already. So, yeah. All right. Who do you like behind him? Anybody?
Benson Knott.
I'm with you on that.
That's who I'm going with.
He's
Kansas State.
Very athletic, more of a traditional productivity profile to what we'd see from tight ends that we're looking at here. To give you an idea, he had 22% dominator. That was behind only Bowers in the class. He ran a 4.68 40. So that's for a tight end, that's pretty solid. But 133 burst score, best in class. He's decently sized, but you're looking over 1,000 receiving yards for him, and 676 this past season, which is really good. So, I mean, looking at this class overall, a lot of these guys are just bunched up. It's Bowers and then pretty much everybody else. And, you know,
there's like 3 tiers. It's like Bowers and then 3 tiers of separation.
And then everyone else. And
you got, like, you know,
it's kind of
Theo Johnson from Penn State is your athletic, hyper athletic winner.
It's 6'6".
Jatavion Sanders.
Jatavion Sanders is most people, or at least not most people's, but the NFL consensus tied into what they expect the second tight end to be off the board. Yeah, and he didn't have a great combine. Again, young too, decent size, almost, you know, one shy of 100 career receptions, you know, 18.9 Dom rating. Like, he didn't meet the 20 threshold. I think a lot of people like to see.
Nothing that really jumped off the page for me with Sanders at all.
He's not for me. Yeah. Like,
not.
He's not for me.
If I'm going for a second guy, it's Sanat. I didn't hate Stover.
I was a fan of Stover, but that's just me. But I just don't see him as, like, I see Theo Johnson transitioning better than Stover does.
I like Theo Johnson transitioning too. And anytime you're taking a dart throw on a tight end, you should take a dart throw on a 6'6" hyper athletic tight end. But we'll see where he lands. Now he's drafted.
We'll see if he's going to be Mike Gesicki or not. if he's all athletic and nothing else.
But well, that's
I wouldn't expect much from his class. Yeah, I wouldn't expect much from Bowers from his class. And by the time
I think Sanat's going to make a huge impact. The way he can play, like, he can play tight end, H back, and fullback. So
yeah,
he actually has rushing ability too. So they use him as like sweep arounds. Like he's like the tight end of Deebo Samuels.
Well, I think that's Brock Bowers, but.
No, but I mean, like, he'll play fullback, he'll play halfback, he'll be a move tight end and take the run right then and there.
But so yeah, he's the K-State George Kittle.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
His
he does it all.
Yards per reception is actually pretty monstrous for tight ends, too. 14.4 and 13.8. The last two seasons. That's really good for a tight end. That's really good for a wide receiver. Just saying.
Average 7 yards after the catch per reception, which puts him pretty close top of the class. To kind of speak to Ryan's point of him as a threat with the ball in his hands.
And he was the fastest tight end of the combine with 4.68 seconds.
Huh?
No.
No, he wasn't.
I got Jaheim. I got Devin Culp at 4.47. 40.
I got Theo Johnson.
I saw I was wrong.
I got Theo Johnson ran a 4.57 at 6'6".
Yeah, Theo is he's it's not as, you know, combine breaking as Gesicki was, but
no.
No.
Again, hey, Penn State managed whatever they got in the water out there.
That's fine. Look at burst score. I think he's got the best burst score in the class, Sinet. And that,
oh yeah,
that's what matters.
Sinet, Sinet and Theo. Well, yeah. I think it's that and combined with agility score, what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
In his short area work, I think it's gonna be rather more impressive. You know,
yeah, and immediately you know, after part the catch,
get
and
open.
That,
top yeah, of his routes.
That makes for good route running, and that's there's a lot I like a lot in his profile. I do. So one thing I forgot to ask back on running back, so we can wait till Ryan gets back to answer this. In your rookie drafts, how knowing the wide receiver class and the quarterback class now, the tight end class, we haven't talked about the wide receiver class. That's where all the focus is on this, though. How high are you willing to take a running back in a rookie draft out of this class in Superflex?
In Superflex?
Yeah.
110?
I think top of round two. 110.
I think one is early as 10.
It's the same range if you're looking at like 12-team standard league.
I could very easily see the first round of this draft being Bowers and then quarterbacks and wide receivers exclusively, in Superflex.
We know we're going to see at least one. We're going to get one of those backs. They're going to go round two. They're going to go to the Chargers. They're going to go to Dallas, New York. Even though the Giants don't have a great team, people are going to talk themselves into one of these guys and you know, taking them over, not your top, you know, four back or your top four quarterbacks, but you start getting to beyond people's top five wide receivers,
four quarterbacks and five
again at the end,
right?
At the end of the first round, even after the top three, even right, because it starts to muddle up for a lot of that. I don't say muddle, not in a bad way, but it starts to get different for people after the top three.
I think it's different, and, but I think the talent is still overall elevated over.
Oh, sure.
What you're getting, even as you start to muddle things up. People don't
draft best player available. They're drafting for need too.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you don't want to do that.
Most times you don't.
Most times you don't want to do that.
If you're drafting your rookie draft in May, you should never draft.
If your need is running back, this is a great time to move that pick.
Yeah, it's a good time to trade.
Move it for next year.
For, you know, yeah.
Give me 2025.
Trade it, you know, for a 1-year rental if you're trying to win a championship.
Also, in general, this doesn't seem to me like a class that, because of the lack of running back depth, which normally holds up draft class depth, it's usually the wide receivers and the running back cores that are running back classes that carry the brunt of rookie drafts in fantasy football. For that reason, for the fact that this running back class is extremely lackluster, this is a great draft to not have a ton of picks in. Unless they're early.
Yes.
You want a lot of high. Obviously, you want, I think.
You want top six.
Yeah.
Top six, top eight.
I think even before, I think, yeah, top nine in super flex, you're looking at probably top five for maybe single QB. But, yeah, it's it starts to get gross. Start looking at 25 or moving those picks for proven players.
Yeah. That I think was the last worthwhile discussion I wanted to have. I mean, we're going to talk wide receivers, but I think it's going to be real interesting when we get to doing rookie mocks that you just really don't have a lot of guys that you're going to want to take late round throws on by the time you get to round three. Maybe wide receivers, but it's going to be so freaking wide receiver heavy that it's going to be overly saturated, which decreases value.
I think once we get our landing spots, once we get an idea, once we get draft capital, and we start getting all the nerds out there, you know, putting them into everything and, you know, start to crank out their updated rankings, you'll start to see there's always going to be a value in some sort. Like, no matter how bad a class is, there's generally always one guy in round three or round four that you know, pays off, you know, nicely. And it, again, it's also based on your expectations too, right? Like, do you really expect your third, fourth round rookie running back pick this year to, you know, to be really productive?
Yeah, and, like, who's this year's Isaiah Pacheco?
Yeah, like, you know, can you find a running back that's an ambiguous backfield that isn't getting hyped? Generally, we hype those guys. If he gets anything, you know, between the, you know, first, you know, four rounds, those guys get hyped up to oblivion, but you get a round five, six guy where, like, Pacheco did go, you might be able to find some value into that. You know, guys that are, you know, purists when it comes to your draft capital, they won't touch you even if you land an ambiguous backfield. Is there a James Robinson in this class? I mean, it's probably not, but
no.
You'll find the profiles you like.
Yeah.
Draft pass catchers.
Just
draft guys that, you know, have a shot to start week one because the backfield sucks.
Draft opportunity and see what that opportunity
especially running
looks
back.
Like after the draft and go from there. We're going to talk wide receivers next week. That'll easily take up a full episode because the wide receiver class is decently deep, although
crazy deep.
Yeah. So that'll be a good discussion. After that, just kind of looking ahead. So we'll talk wide receivers next week. We'll have a week off for the draft. We'll come back, recap the draft, and hit a rookie draft episode, which will be 485. That'll be Ryan's last episode. Once he's done, Dan and I will carry through the doldrums of summer. Can't wait.
We'll give you the boring episodes until the episode that we all are looking forward to, and that's...
I'll be back during that one, though, so don't worry, guys. I'll be coming back.
I'm getting Nick too. I already told Nick he's coming back. Like, he has to come back for the final one, so he doesn't have a choice.
Yep. And with that, we'll talk to you guys next week.
And I guess anyone else that wants to stop by.
Yeah, we'll put it out there.
Yes, absolutely. Later.